Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim bring insight into God's plans for saving this generation. He has placed in every person on earth special gifts that only that person can easily accomplish.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim's back with us today with some more really good stuff, so you don't want to miss it. We're glad you're here, Billy.
Yes, it's good when we rescue people from the hands of the enemy.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, he would like to take every man, woman, boy, and girl and drag them to the miry clay.
Sure he would.
Because God created us to be in His image. He gave each of us gifts. Each of us have a call on our lives. We have a destiny. A couple of the people who have gone to heaven, Gloria, and come back and told their stories, they have said they have seen the book with their name in the room where it's kept. And it's not the book of life or the Lamb's book of life. It is your destiny, and your name is on it, and what God had for you to do. And so God then gifts us. And we had a tragic event in our family just a couple of weeks ago now. And we told about it last week, and you can really see a week ago today on Monday, you can really see in depth what I'm going to tell you back just in a capsule form right here. But 24 years ago, I helped my cousin and his wife, who were unable to have children, get a baby boy from Mercy Ministries, Nancy Alcorn. And he came into their life, Gabe Stewart, they named him. And they named him Cody in the middle name. Everybody in our family has a name of Cody because of dear Grandpa Cody that we all loved. He's the one, you know, that said, "I'm blowed up without her."
Yeah.
You know, so everybody loved him. So even Gabe had that name of Cody. And you know that, of course, my grandson has that name. But Gabe was a blessing when he came into life. He was one of those people who just had charisma. He was just like a people magnet, drew people to him. He would have made a great evangelist. I don't know really what God had for him to do, but he had parents, good parents, happy home, wonderful. He loved people. People loved him. He went away to college. I think maybe the problems might have started then. And he joined a fraternity, and he was somewhere along the line, alcohol entered his life, and he became addicted to it. And then a couple of weeks ago, his parents, who were in California at the time, got a telephone call from the Oklahoma City Police, and he had been dead in his apartment. They found him dead in his apartment. And what it was somehow someone with some drugs, and that mixed with the alcohol didn't work, and it was definitely not suicide. The police said so. And my cousin made it very plain at the funeral. They call it a celebration of Gabe Stewart's life. It was a memorial. It was held in a gymnasium of where he went to high school, OCS, Oklahoma Christian School. And there on the gym floor, it was two big wide sections with people in it. And on one section was several rows back, his fraternity brothers, and then the sorority sisters back of that. And then all around were young people. And as I looked at them, and then thinking of Gabe, too, I saw all this potential, all these giftings, all these. God has for every one of us a derech. That's what it's called in the Bible, a path. And we...
What did you say?
A derech. Like the name Derek, you might think of it. It's a Hebrew word. And it means the path for your life. And so... we can see now that the enemy is trying to snuff these young people out. He comes, it says in John 10:10, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And so he is particularly coming against this young generation. We have, and Chip's going to be here, my son's going to talk about it. We have a meeting every summer called Champions for Christ. And I get to be one of the speakers there. And I see all these young people with these, here they're young and there's this path of life. And I know the enemy's after them. And I can see because I talk to these kids, you know, and gaming, that's one way. Just, you have to define God's will for your life. You have to listen to God. You have to somehow,
right.
He's got to get a message through to you, Gloria. And I do see that the games have played such a part in our young people. How much time they spend gaming, how much time they spend indoors. I'm sure, pretty sure, that they don't spend as much time in the Word of God or in prayer or... And so here we are, and I'm at this meeting and at this memorial, and my cousin looks down at the casket and he said, "This is wrong. There's nothing right about this." This young man, 24 years old, and made it plain that God didn't do it, that he received Gabe, but he didn't take Gabe,
nope.
You know? That the enemy had tricked him into that business of that mixing the alcohol and the drug. And and my cousin made it so plain to the young people that were there, this is an accident that could happen to you if you take the risks.
That's right.
It wasn't a suicide. And you... Young people have an idea that their lives just go on forever.
You know, most likely, Billy, and you can tell me, you might already know, but most likely that's not the first time he ever did that.
Oh, no. Oh,
and
no.
So probably he had a period of time where he was doing the wrong thing and he wouldn't change. And then there came a time when it was, that's it.
That's it. Too late.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, that this addiction to alcohol had happened over a course of some years, 2 or 3 years. And so, anyway, he was gone. We do know that he was born again.
Good.
He had answered a call when he was a little boy, and they'd given the altar call, and he was really outgoing in his life, and he said, "I want Jesus," put his hand up. And then his father had cause to talk to him recently and made assurance of Gabe's salvation. But the thing about it was his spirit... You're born again in your spirit, and his spirit had not been fed enough
right.
to dominate the lusts of the flesh.
That's right, yeah.
And so the enemy was able to take his life by that. Well, I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about this, and my cousin, when he got up, Cindy and Bill, both of them spoke eloquently, and Bill said, "Satan has attacked the wrong family this time, and we're not even going to start counting until we get a million rescued." And he said, "I know a lot of these kids personally because Gabe loved his parents very much, and the kids, you know, they loved to be around Bill and Cindy." And he said, some of their parents, they don't know what to do. So we talked all last week on saving this generation through the authority of the believer. And we told and we discussed how to do it, how to take your authority. We laid the foundation in the Bible, in the book of Ephesians, that when God, Jesus is the head, we're the body, and then when Jesus was dead, when God quickened him, Ephesians said he quickened us. When he raised him, he raised us. When he seated him at his own right hand, far above all principality, power, and dominion, he seated us in him. So we have throne rights seated with Jesus. We're seated there with him. And from that place, we are told by the Lord, Romans 5:17, that we are to rule and reign as kings in life. So we talked about how to do it, and we talked about that word. There are two words that are translated power, more actually about five, but the two we're discussing last week was exousia, which is authority.
Yeah.
And then this week we're going to be discussing the other word, dunamis, which is inherent power, the power of reproducing itself, from which we have the English words dynamics, dynamo. It's like regeneration, like if you'd blow up a I think kind of like an atom or something, you know, and it just goes boom, 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 boom. This dynamite, boom, 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 boom. That's dunamis. And it is, Strong defines it as miracle power. So we're going to talk about this week about our children, saving them through this miracle power and demonstrating that power to them. But before we leave saving our children through authority, I want to read to you something from this book by H.A. Baker. A lot of you might know Heidi Baker. Heidi Baker is and her husband, they are missionaries and to Mozambique, and they have a ministry with children. They've had miracles with witch doctors, getting them to the Lord. And Heidi has a real presence on her, a real anointing, and she might just come out to preach, and instead she'll spend the first several minutes in prayer. And my little prayer granddaughter, Hannah, just loves to be in meetings with Heidi Baker. And so, but this is Heidi's husband's grandparents. And I'm going to read to you who they were. This is the book, Visions Beyond the Veil by H.A. Baker, if you wanted to get it, I'm sure, Christian bookstores.
I read that years ago.
You read it years ago. And
I want to read it again.
I read it,
now,
you know.
Now, that is her, that is
her
Heidi's.
Husband's grandparents. And they were missionaries in China. Reading here, they went to a little town in southwest province of China, a little town of 5,000 called Kachu, I guess. The Bakers were warned that Kachu was overrun by bands of thieves. In fact, it was said to be the worst town in all of China. But the Bakers settled there in the midst of vile and sinful surroundings and began to let the light of God shine out. Almost immediately, they were conscious of the many teenage beggar boys who were starving and dying in the streets. Mm-hmm. That was when they decided to open an orphanage, the Adullam Home. In addition to dysentery and other internal diseases, these boys had terrible sores all over their bodies. Josephine found great joy and satisfaction in removing their filthy rags and giving them baths. Their disheveled hair was cut, clean clothes were put upon them, and their sores healed rapidly as they responded to the love of Jesus. Now, there were 40 boys in the Adullam home when the great miracle took place. In the most unlikely of places, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what we're going to be talking about, power outpoured. There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the likes of which has seldom been reported in the Christian faith anywhere. Uneducated street orphans fell prostrate on the floor under the power of God. While in the Spirit, they were given visions into the next world. They saw and spoke with angels. They played in the wonderful parks of paradise.
Praise God.
They saw the saints of old. This outpouring went on for many days. These young Chinese children standing and preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, receiving revelations of invisible worlds and the glories of the redeemed. Now, after the communist takeover in 1949, all missionaries were sent out of China, and the Bakers had to flee. But, as it was revealed later, these boys, they were taught doctrines and theology past what the Bakers knew. Mm-hmm. These little orphan kids. And then it was revealed later that they became some of the leaders in the underground church in China when it had to go underground. I'm going to read you a little bit of what they saw about heaven. The Adullam children said they went to the third heaven. Now, they didn't even know that the Bible says third heaven, but there they knew where they were. As they passed through the first heaven, they fell on their faces. Having passed in the second heaven, they looked back upon the stars and their wonderful beauty, like it would happen to the whole bunch of them at the same time. They would all have the same experience and go up.
That's awesome.
Of course, their bodies were here on the earth, but the Bakers could hear what they were talking about, and they wrote it all down.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, uh-huh. And so having passed the second heaven, wow. They looked back upon the stars and their wonderful beauty, much as from a mountain height, a person might gaze down upon a beautiful, light-studded city below. Finally, they reached the third heaven and came within sight of the New Jerusalem. As they approached this heavenly city, they saw its light in a distance. Coming nearer and nearer, they described the wall. And of course, the Bakers knew about it because they read in the Bible, you know, the different layers that were the 12 beautiful stones in the foundation. The children experienced this city in the sky as three cities in one. One city suspended above another. The largest city below, the smallest city on top, making a pyramid. And there's where the throne of God was. Mm. So they saw many things, many. I love to read what they were taught theologically. But I want to talk to you, since we're talking about who's after this generation, is this kingdom of darkness. I want to read you what they saw about that. Hallelujah. All right. Glory be to God. The hosts of the powers of the air and their works of darkness in cooperation with the demons on earth were seen by various Adullam witnesses whose testimony is as follows. In other words, there's demons on earth and there's higher order demons in the heavenlies. And the government of the hosts of evil is in mid-heaven. We talked about that. There are thrones from which the devil's angels exercise their satanic government over the earth. These rulers of darkness vary. Some are larger in stature than others. There's variation in dress, crowns, facial expression, disposition, and authority. In all respects, they are as devilish in appearance and acts as the hosts of Satan are expected to be. These rulers of evil are in constant contention among themselves, each representing the authority of those higher in power, each jealous of the other, and all covetous of the seats of highest rank. In other words, they don't have any love among themselves for each other, and they're in constant fighting among themselves. Those in higher rank hold their positions not by consent of the lower orders, but solely through their own superior fierceness and power. Cliques and individuals are in constant conflicts and quarrels. All have crowns that represent various orders and ranks. All desire to sit on the thrones above and supervise the work of evil on earth, rather than descend to earth on delegated duties to further the demonical powers below. Those of highest rank sit on thrones in the mid-heavens, ruling over innumerable hosts of evil spirits from whose number delegations are constantly dispatched to earth to entice its inhabitants to withstand the forces of righteousness, to strengthen weak places in the demonical forces of earth, and to bind and drag the souls of evil men who die to hell. And then they go on in quite a bit of detail. Some of the demons on earth have very little power and are of rather harmless order. Others are higher. And they talked about all of this much more detail than what I talked to you. But when we talk about authority of the believer, and we read that and we learned how to pray that prayer in Ephesians, it says that we are seated far above.
Far above.
These principalities, powers, might, and dominion.
Praise God.
And so parents have authority over those demon spirits who are trying to affect your children. You don't have authority over people, but you have authority over those. And so we learn that the Lord said to us, if one man's trespass, this is Romans 5:17 from the Amplified, and that would be Adam. If through one man's trespass, death reigned through one, much more surely those who receive God's overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness reign as kings in life through the man, Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
And so I wanted to tell you a little bit about this now, just in closing really fast here. I saw an interview, you remember the Columbine shooting? Mm-hmm. When those two, Eric Harris and Dylan Klybold, shot up this Columbine High School. And they murdered 12 students and injured 21. And the pair committed suicide there. I saw where Diane Sawyer interviewed one of the mothers after all these years, from 1999 to 2016. Hmm. And that was the saddest woman I ever saw. And she was so sorry for it. She looked to be like, I would say, an affluent home. Maybe even of very high education, very intelligent people, she and her husband, and they had this son. And she had no idea. He was keeping diaries and journals and going online of all his evil intentions with this other young man and what they were going to do to the school. But she had nothing. She knew nothing of it. She had kissed him goodbye that morning when he left. She showed pictures of him as a little blonde boy. But Satan was after him.
Yeah.
Satan was after Eric Harris and this her son. And they said to the mother, Diane Sawyer said to her, Do you believe there is such a thing as evil? And she sat and she looked and she said, no. And then they brought in an FBI expert on these school shootings. And they said, do you believe there's such a thing as evil? And she said, oh, no, that's a spiritual thing, and we don't go there. So, if the experts aren't going there, and the problem is spiritual, and many, many parents don't even recognize that there's evil, then they're not going to be able to have authority over it.
That's right.
So what we want to do right now is to get the information, and my cousin's all out for this, he and his wife Cindy, Bill and Cindy, they're all out for it. He says the parents come to him, they say, what can we do? Our son's in the same kind of a situation on the very brink. What can I do? There's nothing I can do. Yes, there's something you can do. Mm-hmm. You can find out what the Word of God says about it. You're going to have to know what the Word says, and then you're going to have to sit in your seat and take the authority. After the Columbine shooting, Rachel Tiefenthaler, who you know is a great woman, a woman of great prayer, she said, God, couldn't you do something about this? Couldn't you have stopped it? And he said, Rachel, they kicked me out of schools years ago. He has to have authority to move. Somebody on earth has to ask him. But he said, Rachel, and at that time, you know, they were thinking about people copycat things happening. Mm. He said, if two people will go around their school every day and draw a bloodline, there will never be a shooting in that school. Satan, who instigates these things, will not be able to cross it. And then later, you know, if just two people will draw the bloodline in their prayers from their seat of authority that morning up in their seat of authority, ruling and reigning. We're not letting it happen in our mall. We're using Hebrews 4:13, which says everything is open and naked to him with whom we have to do. We're trusting God to stop these plots, and he can do it if you give him the authority to do so. We're just quickly going over authority this week. Watch last week on KCM.org, Archives, Roku. Watch it.
Oh, Billy, that's so awesome, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. We don't want to miss that. Billy and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.